Good evening, everyone, and welcome to RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. It's hard to believe, but we're at the end of the regular season for spring sports already, and who better to preview the high school baseball playoffs along with the softball playoffs that have already started for softball. They had some games this afternoon. Baseball will be starting, weather permitting, on Saturday, but who better to break down all the matchups for the league and district playoffs coming up than people off to my right, the Grand Poobah of the RCN Sports Department, Sports Director Gary Laubach, and senior sports writer at The Morning Call and co-host of the program, Mr. Keith Edward Groler.
Gentlemen,
welcome.
I can
name
a lot of people better. Was that a question? Is that the trivia question?
Well, hold on. I'll call him right now. thanks for being here. Keith was actually we're at Pates Park, right, this afternoon?
No, I was at Emmaus.
You're at Emmaus, okay.
And convenient for me because I live like 5 minutes away from the ballpark. But Emmaus defeated Easton today.
Four to nothing.
And I did get one other score, Parkland. Crazy thing, this sport's crazy like all sports, but I mean, just on Monday night, Parkland just crushed Whitehall 13-0. Today, much different game, 2-1, Parkland wins. Oh. Had a score in the bottom of the seventh to get the victory. So the top seeded Trojans prevail, but it wasn't easy against the Zephs.
So the EPC softball actually started today. They moved up. I think they were going to start Friday.
Exactly, yes. They're worried about the weather forecast, and then a couple of people have proms, so, you know, it was more convenient to play today.
That's like the EPC tennis. They've rescheduled it four times. I think Nate Standard wanted to reschedule for Saturday, and then it's like, oh, that's proms for this school, so that now they have to find another date.
I think it's next Wednesday now.
Yeah.
And so it's, what, about a week and a half behind?
Yeah, it's the
I thought they already had districts. Didn't they already have districts?
Yes, they did.
Usually they have leagues, then districts, and then states.
Some finals today.
All right, we're going to get to softball and Keith's baby a little bit later on, but we're going to start off with high school baseball, which RCN will be broadcasting starting next week. Gary will have the call of the EPC semifinals starting on Tuesday. So we'll start talking baseball, and we often say in the EPC or the Lehigh Valley Conference, whatever it's been over the years, we always talk about how competitive teams in the Lehigh Valley are. And I think in baseball, maybe more than any other sport, it's usually competitive across the board among Lehigh Valley teams. So I think the fact that Liberty ran the table in the league schedule this year for baseball is extraordinary. Liberty always has good teams. Mm-hmm. But to beat everyone and go through with and maintain your focus, and it wasn't the best weather, so you had a couple stretches where you get backed up on games and you're tested as far as your pitching depth. For Liberty to run the table in the EPC, I think is a tremendous, tremendous accomplishment. Let's start there with the Hurricanes. What about the job for Coach Basilis?
I agree. Andy in his 17th season. He's seen it all. He's done it all. What he has this year is a team that's consistently good in pitching and consistently good in hitting. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody has a super ace on the mound, but he's got a nice group of pitchers, and they hit the ball, and they hit the ball timely. I mean, their losses to Williamsport and to Stroudsburg, that was a non-league game. Otherwise, as you said, they ran the table. The problem is that the kiss of death? I mean, do you go undefeated and now find yourself in a must-win situation, and they're going to take on Whitehall. That'll be their first ball game on Saturday. Whitehall just got in, so they're a little pumped up because of that. They've got a little momentum because of the victory yesterday. So, it's hard to tell. I don't like baseball playoffs because baseball is not a one-game playoff type of sport.
Yeah.
I understand you have to do it this way. You don't have time. But any team can lose a game.
Yeah, and Stroudsburg is one of the top teams in 6A, so that was a legitimate non-conference loss to the Mountaineers. The other thing, and you touched on it, they're very good at so many different locations. I think when you look at Player of the Week and the Morning Call as their Athletes of the Week that you can vote for and so forth, I think going back over the last 2 months, they've had like three or four different players nominated or winning the awards because they have different people stepping up. And that is so important when you get to this playoff time because you can't key on one guy or, you know, pitch around one or two players. If you have a really stacked lineup, that's going to make you even harder to beat in the league and district playoffs.
And they have a great baseball culture at Liberty. I mean, Andy loves the game of baseball. His dad is an assistant coach. He loved the game of baseball. And his players, they buy into all of that. They love the game of baseball. And you know, Liberty was not chosen as the team to win it all this year. Mm-hmm. So their accomplishment has been a bit of a surprise, but it's been outstanding.
And you always look at the teams that are right behind them because, again, usually the teams, in fact, I think one coach said one year, he goes, I don't necessarily want to win the leagues because that makes us the marked team for the district playoffs too. I'd rather just, you know, have a nice league playoffs, maybe lose at some point, and then refocus and come back and hopefully finish strong in districts and then move on in the state playoffs.
And how do you discount Parkland? I mean, they won three of the last 4 years, the EPC. It's hard sometimes to win the EPC and then win districts, but they won the EPC three of the last 4 years. Kurt Weber has another terrific baseball team, 15-4 on the season, 14-2 in the conference. You can't discount them at all. So, Who's a favorite? I think the top four are favored to probably win their first round games, although maybe Easton takes care of Stroudsburg. But other than that, I think it's a crapshoot, as baseball usually is.
And just a rundown for people that have not seen it on the EPC website, Liberty is the number one seed. They're taking on number eight-seeded Whitehall. That'll be Saturday at 12 noon, weather permitting, at Liberty. Stroudsburg's the number four seed, hosts Easton, the number five seed, up at Stroudsburg at 11 o'clock on Saturday. Northampton is the number three seed. They host Pleasant Valley at Northampton, 12 noon on Saturday. And Parkland, the number two seed, takes on Emmaus at 11 o'clock at Parkland. And you look at the top four, you look at some of the other teams. Easton's in there. Easton's always a team that is tough to beat come this time of year. Emmaus, usually they have a new coach, but they've been playing well. Mm-hmm. And you look through all the league games this year, there's a bunch of other teams. Central Catholic didn't even make districts, and they beat Parkland the other night. So the Steel Division, again, we talk about it in boys basketball, how tough the Skyline Division is, 1-6. But baseball, you have the last team in the division beating the first team in the division, mm-hmm. and they're not even making districts.
And they won some games this season, Central Catholic did, that nobody would have expected them to win against some of these teams. And as you mentioned, they didn't make it at all. Their season's over.
Another team. I don't want to name the team, but I think it's interesting that, because we've talked for a couple weeks now about Major League Baseball and how they're changing from, you know, there's still a lot of teams that play good, fundamental, old school baseball. They bunt, they hit and run, they move guys along.
There's
too many teams depending on home runs in my book.
That's the point. Lift the ball.
And a lot of the teams that have success are those old school teams, like Freedom last year. They were a team that could bunt and play defense and run the bases well. But this year I started to see more teams uppercutting, not bunting in bunting situations. You get a leadoff guy on instead of stealing or trying to bunt him over. Number two hole hitter's not trying to hit the ball on the right side. He's uppercutting it. Maybe there's a short fence or a fence. They're out of field that has a fence, so maybe he's trying to go for a home run. Are we starting to see Major League Baseball, and it's starting to filter down that, you know, it's not about bunts, it's not about hitting and running, it's not about moving base runners along. It's all about the long ball. You get the 3-4 run home run. Is that filtering down to the high schools?
I hope not, but I would imagine it does.
And it kind of all depends on the coach. I mean, we've known coaches that play nothing but small ball.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen that over the years. And now we see coaches that maybe are buying into this philosophy, and they're going for the big inning, and it's a totally different baseball game than it used to be. You don't know what came first. Did the kids buy into this, and that's all they want to do is hit home runs and hit the ball hard or high or whatever? Or are the coaches buying into this, and that's what they're teaching the kids? I'm not sure which is the answer.
I think the big question is going to be colleges. If colleges are going to go that route, then high schools are probably going to have to go that route, because they're going to get pressure from parents to say, "Hey, my kid wants to go to this school. They're not bunting. They're not doing squeeze plays at this level." So I think the big question as far as high school sports over the next couple of years is going to be what colleges determine.
Mm-hmm. But I think the guys in this league, I cover the softball, and I've covered softball for 35, 36 years, something like that. I know a lot of these baseball guys. I know Pitsilas from his Blue Mountain League days with Punkin Miller. I know George, great man. Did he play with you at Raven?
Yes, he did. Raven.
Great guy.
He was my shortstop.
Just a great guy, traditional guy. I have to believe in the teams that are going to separate themselves in the coming weeks are going to do all these little things. They're not going to wait for the 3-run homer, Earl Weaver style. They're going to want to manufacture runs because you have to. I mean, I trust that we're going to see the best pitching, and you can't sit there waiting for a big inning when one or two is going to win a game. So you're going to have to hit and run, bunt, steal a base, which I think even in Major League Baseball, we don't see many stealing anymore.
And it's a big if you've done it all year. If you haven't done it all year, you may not be capable of doing it.
Well, I would like to believe, and I don't know these teams. I know Kurt Weber a long time. Mm-hmm, he's an Eastsider like I am. And
they're all great coaches.
Yeah, we had great Sugar. I mean, these guys are well ingrained. I would think these guys could do just about anything with their personnel.
One other thing before we talk about the Colonial League was, and I think this actually came up a few weeks ago when we talked about baseball coaches. You look. And there's some sports in which you have like a Brian Neff who's been around forever, and different sports guys have been around forever. In baseball, in the APC, it's almost the same coaches that stick around for a long time. I think Emmaus has had the most turnover the last couple of years because they had Coach Schneider, or Schreiner, who was there, and then they had Coach Mihalik,
right.
And now Coach Haas has taken over. But this is one of the few sports in which, when you get into this fraternity, there's not a whole lot of turnover.
No, well, Carm LaDuca, 18 years. Phil Stokes, 18 years. Andy Patsilas, 17 years. So those guys have been around forever. O'Boyle, Sean at Whitehall, 9 years. 9 years for Mick Shugra. The rookie is Jeremy Hawes, and as you mentioned, in his first season, and Jeff Lazowski of Pleasant Valley is in his third season. Otherwise, these guys are veterans, and they pretty much have seen it all.
One thing I wanted to interject, we mentioned Stroudsburg. We see it again in softball, again, another sport where the mountain lags behind, behind. I mean, most of the games are not competitive. Sometimes you wonder, why they're even traveling. At least Stroudsburg North, for example, or Pocono West, why they even come down here for a cross-division game. But this is a sport, I believe, Gary, that Stroudsburg in particular and some of those people can compete, and maybe a Stroudsburg can make a lot. They've had some great pitching. I know what's the kid that got drafted highly a couple years ago?
Yeah, I know.
Nicorak.
Yep.
I mean, they have some talent. So is this the one sport where maybe we see they can actually compete?
When you look at in the EPC, they only lost to Emmaus and Easton. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are their losses. Now, they will take on Easton, and they lost to them 5-1 during the season. But you're right. I mean, they're very good in baseball, and they've been very good in baseball.
All right, taking a look at the Colonial League playoffs, which will start on Saturday. They're going to play the wild card rounds at El Tri-C. In fact, a number of the games for the Colonial League are going to be held at El Tri-C, which is interesting because, you know, we talk about neutral sites and having nice facilities, and you know, it's always a money issue. And El Tri-C, my understanding is that they're offering their facilities for free for this tournament, which is very nice to see. So their wild card tournament will be played on Saturday, starting at 10 o'clock. Again, weather permitting, the number 4 seed Saucon Valley takes on the number 5 seed Southern Lehigh. Number 3 seeded Notre Dame takes on the number 6 seeded Palmerton at 1 o'clock. And then the winner of Notre Dame Palmerton will take on Wilson, the number 2 seed Southern Lehigh. Saucon Valley winner will take on the number 1 seed against Northwestern. That game will be at El Tri-C as well. And the final is going to be at El Tri-C on Thursday. At 4:30 start, assuming no games get postponed or there's not significant delays because of the weather. With the Colonial League, the two teams I heard all year long was Northwestern and Wilson. So I got notes on Northwestern and Wilson, and as I was putting stuff together yesterday, I looked at Wilson's score against Notre Dame. 15-1. I mean, Notre Dame or Northwestern and Wilson still are the top two teams coming in. But I think this Colonial League playoff, much like the EPC, you can throw 3, 4, maybe even 5 teams can have a shot at the Colonial League title.
Well, what a contrast in coaches here, whereas we're talking about all these veterans in the EPC. 4 of the 6 coaches that are still left in the playoffs, 4 of them have 3 or less years of coaching, and the two teams that are ranked 1 and 2, Steve Wagner, what a job he did at Wilson this year in his first season as the head coach, and Duran Perino at Northwestern is only in his 3rd year as a head coach. So the veterans are Mike Bedick's 14 seasons and Todd Miller 21 seasons. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if the veterans win out here because of all the experience that they do have in playoffs.
And Coach Perino just Coach of the Year last year. I think he was his first year. A lot of people said he did a really good job last year. He did get the Coach of the Year honors. The Notre Dame is a team I did see it. And real quick before we go to the break, they were fun to watch because
They do run.
Almost too fun to watch because I saw them twice. The one game I think they had 11 stolen bases. The other one they had like 6 or 7. Anytime you got a man on first base, they bunted guys along. And I talked to Coach Bedick about it afterwards, and he said, the kids don't always like it, but usually the first 45 minutes, an hour of practice, especially the first month of the year, that's all we do is bunt. And it was fun to see. I said that at that point, it was about a month in, this has been the best bunting team I've seen all year long.
And that's Mike Bettick. That's the way he played, if you remember. Yeah. I mean, it goes back quite a ways. But I remember when Mike Bettick's played, that's exactly the kind of player he was. He has not changed from his own personal style to the style he wants for his baseball team. And it works. I mean, Notre Dame's in the thick of things every year.
All right, we're going to talk more high school baseball, previewing the EPC and Colonial League playoffs, and also talk some softball. Keith will talk about the EPC and the Colonial League playoffs as well. Again, a couple of the games in the EPC already played this afternoon. As we head to our first break of the evening, one of the most consistent pitchers in the Phillies minor league system continues to be southpaw Cole Irvin in his second straight year at the AAA level. We talked with Cole about his year at Lehigh Valley so far and his expectations he has to reach a big club at some point.
And this year, it was a little bit easier to get to know the guys, and you kind of know who was who, and you're a little bit more comfortable talking to the veteran guys on the team. I mean, you look around this room, and we got our six starting guys. I mean, four of them were here last year, and two of them are one has big league experience, and the other is one of our top prospects, and JoJo Romero, and he's a great pitcher, and he's another lefty that is going to be needed at the big league level. And so we're excited. You did a little bit in A-ball, so it's not too much of a change. You get an extra day's rest. You're a little bit more eager to get the ball. The ballparks, once you do it once, you've seen them all, so you're kind of already a little bit comfortable, and you kind of know the towns. And again, lineups, you face guys in A-ball, you face guys in Double-A, and every year they kind of advance, so you kind of seen everyone. And some guys are traded and stuff, so you kind of got to learn a couple guys. But yeah, you get a lot of confidence.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. It's Keith's second favorite part of the show, and we are trying something unique today. Just for the record, it's not my idea, so if you don't like it, you feel free to email me and let me know.
Don't blame Gary.
Can we say whose idea was? No, never mind. All right, for tonight's trivia question, we'll get to the prize in a moment, but the question does deal with high school baseball and softball. Since 2013, only two schools have won both District 11 softball and baseball titles. Name both schools. Only two schools have won both baseball and softball. Since 2018, you have to name both. To get our grand prize giveaways, and Keith, if you could showcase what they are.
Wow.
Look at that. They are the best of RCN.
The camera following me.
Two spindles.
Two spindles. We have
of DVDs featuring
Gary
Laubach.
Not many good shows.
We're not passing good shows.
This is the best of what we got here. Okay.
It is a pot.
It's a potpourri. Yeah.
There's no truth that this was taken out of a garbage can.
I wasn't going to call it that.
No. Okay. All right.
But we don't know exactly what's on them. They are games over the last couple of years, different games, different shows. We're not promising exactly what they are.
I see a BML.
There could be outtakes.
That's my favorite thing, BML baseball. I love it. Rosetta and
Well, you can go through the list. Say what's here. Because I don't know.
I'm not going through it. Come on.
Come on. Just round off some of the shows that people can get.
Saucon Valley,
you can get
Ganger,
all of
high
these
school
games,
basketball.
All of these
I don't
DVDs.
Even know how to open. Figure out how to open.
Yeah. That might take the rest of the show. Gary, you know this stuff here. I just see a Blue Mountain League game and I see Saucon Valley
game.
And Ganger basketball 2016. And that's when Saucon Valley was pretty good.
All right. So
there can't be any bad shows in there.
If Gary's on it, they're all good shows.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Keith promises that Gary is on every one of these.
I didn't promise that. I said, if he's on it, it's good.
All right, so that is the prize you give away. To get, you have to pick them up at the studio during business hours between 9 and 4 o'clock Monday through Friday. And again, the question, since 2013, only two schools have won both District 11 softball and baseball titles. Correctly identify both schools. You get two spindles of the best of RCN over the last couple of years.
This is an actual prize now. Wow. That's amazing.
Oprah charges
$40
a show.
Just because I'm the producer.
That's worth thousands of dollars.
Yeah, we do charge it with $20 for a game or $40 for games, something like that.
Well, I think it's closer to $40.
So there you go. Just because I'm the producer.
For non-RCN customer.
Yes. Don't think I have any control over this.
We have none of them watching us. So.
All right. Well, with a podcast, you never know, and online. All right. Keith's baby, softball. There's been some interesting scores. And I think it's interesting, too, because I look at your rankings every week, and there's been a lot of turnover. There's been a lot of turnover this year because you've had some different number ones and number twos
absolutely.
And so forth.
That's how a season goes. I mean, if you did rankings of Major League Baseball, you'd have different teams. Basketball would probably be the Golden State Warriors all the time.
Yeah.
But in Major League Baseball, you'd have different teams, right?
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on baseball? Because I know there's been, and again, it's not just teams beating other teams, which is have been a little bit of a surprise. There have been a lot of blowouts, too, more so in the Colonial League, I think. But what are your thoughts overall?
Well, yeah, the Colonial League has been the haves and the have-nots. It's really almost an even division right there. Six really good teams and six teams that are struggling. And seven. And we came down to a tiebreaker situation with Penn Argyle and Notre Dame. And Notre Dame, which features a former Green Knight as its head coach, Beth Raleigh. Fran, they got in there. They knocked off Wilson last night, and they got the last spot over Bill Schenkel and the Green Knights. So, look, what I like about the Colonial League is you got teams that haven't won a lot over the years. Palmerton has never won the title. They're in the mix here. Northwestern Lehigh's won two. They're in the mix. And Southern Lehigh's won 27 of them. So it's usually there was a time when this was called the Brian Neff Invitational. Not anymore. And on the East Division side, you got Bangor. I was up at Bangor yesterday. They're quite good. And then you got Wilson. Coached by Miss Arnold.
Katie Arnold?
No, I forget her name now. I'm blanking out. But she played for Brian Neff at Southern Lehigh, and she does a really good job. And now we get this new blood here, and I think we're going to have a very interesting Colonial League tournament. It's wide open, maybe more so than the EPC. But the league itself this year, remember, Moravian Academy, they folded up their program, and of course, kids that played at Moravian Academy or attend Moravian Academy were allowed to join with one of those cooperative situations. Yeah. They joined in with Notre Dame. That might have helped Notre Dame a little bit, but there was some bad. Let's face it. I hate to say this, but it was kind of bad. Some of the teams are kind of really, really struggling this year. Hopefully, they'll get better. But we had at least six or seven good teams as well, and those are the teams that'll be showcased over the next week.
When was the last time Penn Argyle did not make the Colonial League playoffs? I mean, that's a long tradition of
Bill
Schenkel, great softball.
And since I'm releasing it tomorrow, Bill Schenkel is their longtime head coach, and he's going into the Lehigh Valley Softball Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I know that, and he said he had a couple bad years in there, but they seldom do miss. They seldom do miss the Green Knights. He's got a nice program up there, and but they're on the outside. Outside looking in. I think it'll come down to the most consistent teams have been Northwestern, Southern Lehigh, and Bangor. I think you're going to get your champion out of that threesome. And of course, like we talk about all the time with the sport, it's pitching dominated. And the best pitcher in the Colonial League is Emily Acolytis from Northwestern Lehigh. So you might want to give the Tigers a slight edge because of her.
All right. We'll continue the softball talk in a moment. Right now we have someone that wants to take a shot at her trivia question.
Oh, my goodness.
Mike from South Whitehall Township. Mike, welcome to Sports Talk.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
You do realize what the prize is, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Does the case come with it?
I just don't want to mislead anyone here. You're looking at a spindle full, two spindles full.
So the best sports broadcasting in the history of Lehigh Valley Athletics, right here.
Or I might be in there, too.
In this building.
All right, Mike, you want to take a shot at a trivia question?
All right. In softball, is Pullman.
All right.
Pullman in softball, and Nabbitt in baseball.
You're incorrect. There's two schools that won both. So we're looking for the schools that have won
you're
both baseball
for
and softball.
Well-rounded schools, Mike. Well-rounded schools.
Not that they're not well-rounded.
What
are you saying about Parkland? Keith Groller says Parkland is not a well-rounded school. Okay. Nice try, though, Mike. Thanks for giving it a shot.
I have to ask Gary a question.
Oh, go ahead. Go right ahead.
Hey, Gary.
Yes, sir.
How come RCN does not cover Grandview this year?
We are.
We are.
It hasn't been on TV yet.
Well, they haven't started to run yet. If they've had one, we may have missed the first one, but we'll have a full schedule of Grandview Racing.
Okay.
June 1st, thanks. I believe, is the first one. June 1st.
Mike, thanks for giving us a call. Keith has gotten the spindle open.
Yes,
so now
finally.
Can...
It took out the half hour. Hey, the Lehigh Valley All-Star. I assume this is the McDonald's, right?
Yes.
Gary M. sees it. This is a great keeper right here. All by it. I mean, trust me, there's no better MC than Gary Laubach. So you would.
There's nobody believing you now.
This alone makes it worthwhile to win this prize.
Oh, I'm glad you like this idea.
And I didn't say that.
So the question again: does anyone like this idea? Since 2013, only two schools have won both baseball and softball District 11 titles.
Did I say that wrong? I well-rounded schools that can win championships in both sports, right? I meant as a compliment to the teams.
It didn't sound like a compliment.
Okay,
you're a writer, not a speaker.
Yes.
That's true.
Speaking of Keith's opinions, let's take a look at Keith Grohler's rankings this week.
Oh, here we go.
What's wrong with looking at your rankings?
Let the bashing begin.
No, and let's take a look at where they are. Parkland, number one. That's the team you've been touting for the last couple weeks. They're the number one team. Nazareth, number two. Boy, they've come on strong. Tony did it to me again. He did it to me as a football coach. He said, oh, Chris, we're going to stink this year. We're not going to. Now, look here. They're the number two team in your rankings heading into the playoffs after the first month. He said he couldn't do anything right.
They were in trouble today against the number three team, Northampton, though.
That's a tough matchup.
I heard they were losing 6-3, and they just beat them. I mean, unfortunately, just like other sports in the high school ranks, these teams have to play each other over and over again. And just the other day, I covered it, Monday, Nazareth had a big win over Northampton. Now they have to match up again. But Tony's done a really nice job.
They struggle a little bit defensively, don't they?
Yeah, they do. He's got a pitcher, though, who's really good.
Yeah.
Sam Gorkas. However, she does give up the long ball. And as you know, great pitchers over the years, Robin Roberts comes to
Bob
Gibson.
Yeah, just get the bat on the ball.
Yeah, some of these people have. But I don't know if that was the case today against Northampton, but they've done a nice job. They started 1-3, 2-4. Look, just like in other sports, Chris, the skyline towers above the rest, in my opinion, in the EPC. Five of the eight teams in the league tournament in the EPC are from the Skyline Division. And last year, we had two teams in the Final Four in 6A from that division. Nazareth went all the way to the state semis. Mm-hmm. Parker went to the final game and was, you know, had a 3-0 lead and nearly won a state championship. So I think, again, we could have a team coming from that skyline that's not only going to win the league, not only going to win districts, but could make a run at getting to Penn State on June, I think it's June 14th.
And your 8, 9, and 10 team, Southern Lehigh, Northwestern, Bangor. Did Southern Lehigh, did I see this right, they lost to Salisbury the other night?
Yeah. I don't know what that was all about. Salisbury was playing for nothing. They're playing for a little pride. Southern Lehigh looking ahead to the postseason. You know, it's just like in any other sport. You got to stay focused every day. And the game obviously meant a lot to Salisbury because they kind of underachieved this year. But they did get that done. They got that win done. Southern Lehigh, I think Southern Lehigh will be fine going into the Colonial League semifinals on Tuesday night. They will play the winner of, I believe they'll play the winner of Notre Dame. I'm sorry. They're in the quarterfinals tomorrow night. Quarterfinals tomorrow night. Southern Lehigh will play Notre Dame. And if they win that, whoever wins that one will play Bangor in the semifinals on Tuesday night.
All right, we'll have some more baseball and softball talk coming up in just a few minutes. But right now it is Keith's favorite part of the show where he can talk about anything and everything on his sports mind. It's called Grohler's Grumblings. He can look through Gary's DVD collection here if he wants, but time is his.
Well, again, I don't know if I said this on the air, but we had a great night a couple weeks ago at DeSales University, and Gary really, I can't put you above the Grenadier Bagpipers.
I wouldn't either.
I can't put you above, and I can't put you above my father, who
he was great, by the way.
Who came in a wheelchair from Phoebe home, where he's recovering from a stroke. But you were excellent.
Very proud.
And you really made that night, I think, special.
The night was made by the two people who were honored.
Well, you really moved the program along beautifully with just the right touch. But anyway, banquet season's in session. We had an award ceremony last night with St. Luke's on another network, as they say. Some great people were on it. We have another awards banquet, I believe, coming up in 2 weeks. This one's sponsored by another health agency around here, Coordinated Health. And there's great kids. I will say this, and maybe Gary and Chris can chime in. I think the kids of today, and you go way back, I don't want to make you feel old, but you go back a long time. I think the kids of today are as good as they've ever been. I think they work hard. There's so many demands put on them now with these seasons never end. You were a three-sport athlete, I believe, weren't you? I don't know if you could do it today and still be an academic all-star. And yet, these kids, and, you know, Colonial League recently had a scholar-athlete breakfast, and the EPC is having one, I believe, coming up at the end of the month. They all deserve these accolades, because I think right now, and people will argue with me on this, I think the kids of today work as hard as they ever have. I think they work harder than previous generations. They have to. They're motivated. They want to get to the next level. Sometimes parents are involved. Sometimes parents are too involved. We've covered that territory. But I believe the kids of today, as the school year ends again, I'll tell you what, some great, great kids are out there, and I know a lot of people, we like to knock and we like to dwell on negativity around here, and actually everywhere, negativity seems to sell. But I really, really want to emphasize the positive of today's kids, and there's going to be a lot of awards, a lot of things going on in the next couple of weeks, and my hat's off to all of them, because they've done a heck of a job.
All right, coming up, a quick reminder, our first remote show of the 2019 season. Sports Talk will be on the road at Buffalo Wild Wings on Grape Street in Whitehall. Our special guest will be Jose Medina and members of the state champion Bethlehem Catholic girls basketball team. Just about everyone on the team is going to be there. I think one player has a conflict with that day, but you're going to get to see the Golden Hawks talk about another tremendous season. Coach Medina, an outstanding job running the show again this year with that outstanding coaching staff, and they will be our special guest. Thursday, May 23rd, 7 o'clock at Buffalo Wild Wings on Grape Street in Whitehall. We hope everyone comes out. Keith will be there. I'll be there. The whole RCN team will be there. And we hope to see you as well to honor the Golden Hawks winning another state basketball championship. That's going to be on Thursday, May 23rd, 2 weeks from tonight. The show will start at 7 p.m. Despite some tough weather over the last week, the District 11 tennis quarterfinals and semifinals were held and produced some big winners heading into tonight's championship. Sports Talk videographer Alyssa Scheckler was at Saucon Valley for the quarterfinals and semifinals to get some updates heading into today's final match.
District doubles, I think, is always fun for me. It's an entirely different feeling from singles because you're with a partner and you gotta work together and communicate with them.
I just grew up playing tennis with him, and yeah, we're just playing doubles together now for Liberty. I've been playing with him for so long that it's like second nature just playing with him. I know exactly how he plays and I know so I can like work my game so to play with his.
David and I have known each other since we were really young, probably in third or fourth grade. So it's nice to have that long-term chemistry together because it really helps our communication and our play.
Since we were younger, we would always play together at a club near our houses. We'd always be rivals playing each other in tournaments. And I moved to Nazareth just recently, so it's cool being on the same team, being together. We have a really good bond on the court.
Actually, my first match of my whole tennis career. It was 3.5 hours. I was 10 years old. He was 8 years old. He won, actually. But we've created camaraderie that's really hard to break on the tennis court. I thought it was pretty ironic. When I was younger, he was my rival, you know, and now we're playing together in district final. I think it's pretty cool to have.
I hope we can win the doubles district finals on Thursday, and hopefully in the future we can continue.
We've made it pretty far in team districts. We had some really good wins overall as a team. We never made it to the golden district, so I'm hoping with this doubles final that we'll be able to win that.
Our goal at this point is to make it to states, but hopefully we just keep improving, because that's always the main thing. The main thing is always to keep improving your game and just looking for different ways to get better.
I feel very accomplished. Last year, I played with Nate Talbert in the final. We played a tough match. You know, I think we played pretty well. I'm looking for some revenge on Thursday, so hopefully it'll go our way.
with us. Call, email, or tweet us your comments, questions, and opinions. We want to hear from you right now. And now, here's more RCN Sports Talk.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. We're previewing the upcoming high school baseball playoffs. The softball playoffs already have gotten underway today. Keith is frantically looking at his phone to try to get some updates.
With no luck. I mean, we're waiting. I'm really curious. I'm going to assume, and you know what happens when you assume sometimes. I'm going to assume that Freedom defeated Stroudsburg today. Freedom's been very, very hot. However, I don't know I heard a preliminary score of 6-3. I don't know how late the ball game was that Northampton was gaining revenge from earlier this week loss to Nazareth. So, our friend Tony Cook. I mean, both of these teams could bounce back and conceivably win the league and win the district. But it's a shame somebody had to go already of those two in the quarterfinals.
And then what's the schedule now, weather permitting? What's the schedule for next rounds?
Next week is all at Pates Park. Monday night will be the EPC semis, Monday night at Pates. Tuesday at Colonial League semis. And then they do, and I wish they would do this in basketball, have the championships at the same venue, doubleheader. This year, EPC goes first at 5, Colonial League about a half hour after the completion of the EPC game. Usually not too late, maybe a 7:30 start for the Colonial League. But championship doubleheader next Thursday night at Pates Park. So everything's at Pates, and that's nice to know where I'm going. And it is, you know, it's the Mecca softball. I know there's some other facilities, and I want to see the sales in some of these other places. But it's been the Mecca. It's a great press box. It's a great venue. People are used to going there. Great refreshment stand, which we all know is important. So we're at least I think it's important. So because I give out a hot dog, better not as good as this, but I give out a hot dog, Coke, and a bag of chips for my trivia.
I knew you wanted to promote that again.
Can I borrow these for my trivia contest? Because
sure,
I have to dig deep in my own pocket for the trivia pates. I'm sure that
you can have them.
People would flock up to the box to answer my trivia for a case of these, huh?
Whatever you say.
We'll talk. We'll negotiate. But no, everything's at Pates next week, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday.
Thursday, okay. And DeSales, are they hosting as far as districts? Is it at Pates?
We're going to wait and see what the district level committee says. I don't think they're in play. I know that they did take a look at it. They might be in play for a game or two, but I think primarily it's still going to be at Pates.
Because it used to be a guarantee for decades that it was going to be a Pates. I guess we're starting to, and I know Pates is very near and dear to your heart, but we're looking like, you know, we could be seeing in the future, we could be going to different venues now.
We are. I think we're going to, and in some ways I like it. I mean, I think I like the fact being on a college campus. I like the fact that the state championships are both in baseball. You guys are still doing the baseball, right? Mm-hmm. The baseball and the softball are up at Penn State. I think that's a neat thing. They want to try to aspire to get to a classy venue like that. So I would like to see us maybe look at some other options. But still, Pates has got that traditional ring to it, and people have been going there for years. And from a media standpoint, you know, look, I mean this, the two best press boxes, I think, in the Valley. Well, three. I'll give you three. I think the Pates Park press box, mm-hmm. I think Lafayette, Fisher Stadium, mm-hmm. and I'll go with Bethlehem Mary School District Stadium. Those, I think, are the best three press boxes. Why? Because they can accommodate everybody. And that's what I think Pates
can do. Well, Pates is so special because of the people that are in the press box. I mean, it's just
Jim Frick excluded.
It's a unique place.
I hope he's not watching.
Where's the Jim Frick plug?
But no, Jim Frick. No,
and the baseball championship is going to be at Coca-Cola Park.
And so that's terrific. Perfect. That's terrific, too. But I would say that Pates Park, I mean, I know they have a lot of room there, too, obviously, because they should for a minor league baseball team. But from a local, you know, volunteer basis kind of thing, Pates Park does a heck of a job. Great
for
place.
Years and years and years.
All right. It's time for the roundtable part of the show. The roundtable is where we have some different topics with a whole lot of different areas that we put before our panelists. Looking for an entertaining exchange of thoughts and opinions. If you're watching us live, you're welcome to call in with an opinion if you have one on our topics. Otherwise, you can email us if you so choose, and we might read and respond to your opinions on an upcoming show. All right, topic number one of the roundtable, should high schools merge struggling sports teams. And we talked a little bit about it with softball. There's a lot of teams that are not doing too well record-wise. You could go through fall, winter, and spring. There's programs that have been struggling for years on end. And you keep hearing about, boy, the costs are going up for high schools. The busing costs are higher. The district is losing money. PIAA is losing money. I mean, is it wrong to even think about this at some point? I know it's great to have as many opportunities for kids at the same time. You're losing a lot of money by having so many teams, and is there actually a benefit to having teams struggle? So, Gary, we'll start with you.
No.
Absolutely.
You should not merge them, unless you don't have the sport. I mean, the situation like with Moravian Academy not having a sport, sending kids to Notre Dame. They don't have football. The Notre Dame's used one of their young men to be their field goal kicker. That's fine if you don't have the sport. If you have the sport, I think you're opening up Pandora's box.
Okay.
What if you merge teams and all of a sudden they start to win? Can you imagine the clamor if they're winning championships? I say no.
All right, Keith?
And I agree with you, although I'm a little concerned. Didn't Wilkes-Barre? There's like three schools coming together up in the Wilkes-Barre area.
Yes, they did.
And we've seen how these teams, how this has happened in other parts of the state, and great teams are created.
Did they come under one blanket as a school district?
I believe
they. I have no problems with that. Yeah. Hazleton did it years ago with West Hazleton.
I mean, the one that comes to mind is Allen and Deerfield, which are really, really struggling. And you wonder if they have to start considering it. If you read the stories in the Morning Call, this is a real big-time problem. Allentown School District is really, really struggling. And part of it, and I know the people out there are going to mention this right away. Part of it is this big bill they have to pay for charter schools, okay? And that's one of the reasons why public school people really, get upset when an executive charter emerges on the east side and so forth. And there's a lot of controversy that's going to go forward with that. But you wonder, Allen Dierf really struggling. A lot of people would maybe like to see one athletic program in Allentown. I don't think it would change the competitive balance of much because the most programs at both schools are struggling. But it's an interesting thought. By and large, I agree with Gary, though. I don't like the concept.
And one of the great things about that article in the Morning Call today was that Liberty and Freedom, they're also inner city school, but they've had a lot more success. And it breaks down the reason why they have more
And it's
more
money.
Success.
And look at, you could talk about money and how Steinbrenner would buy some championships maybe for the Yankees, but it also comes into play at the high school level. Kids at Liberty and Freedom, they're not all of them are doing super well, but they come by and large from families that can support. This is about sending kids to camps and clinics. The Allentown kids, they're lucky to have one parent or two at home. They're not worried about going to camp. They're worried about their next meal in many, many cases. And people who don't understand the struggles of Allen and Deerf ought to look at the demographics and the economic situation. It's really bleak for a lot of those kids.
And if you merge the two schools under one umbrella, Deerf and Allen, I have no problems with it. Mm-hmm. I just don't like the concept of a kid going from one team to another being merged.
Topic number two, NBA playoffs in full swing. Has it reached a new low? Real quick, I love basketball. I couldn't watch the Sixers during the regular season because it was too boring, and I can't watch them now. Do you think the NBA has reached a new low in terms of, I thought playoff times, it's a little extra on the line. You give a little bit extra. Well, the Sixers didn't give a little extra in Games 2 or Game 4 or most of Game 5. Keith, we'll start with you. You covered the NBA for quite a few years.
I don't like the game as it's being played today. I look at, I guess yesterday was the 49th anniversary of Willis Reed coming out of the tunnel at Madison Square Garden, and that new and I was a Wilt Chamberlain guy.
Yeah, I was a Wilt
Chamberlain fan, so it devastated me. I was 8 years old or 9 years old. But those Knicks, they moved the basketball.
Bill Bradley, Dave
Bill
DeBuscher.
Bill Bradley, Dave DeBuscher, yeah. Walt Frazier, Dick Barnett, I think. I mean, they were phenomenal. Johnny Havlicek died recently. The epitome of ball movement.
And
we don't see that kind of basketball. I like team basketball. I don't really like the... We used to have a one-on-one thing in the NBA years ago. They used to show it at halftime, one-on-one battles. It seems like it's too much one-on-one. This Draymond Green from the Golden State Warriors, he bothers me. He took a cheap shot. I did watch the game last night. I just don't care for today's NBA by and large.
You don't like Tobias Harris shooting and missing 39 straight three-pointers? And he's the fourth or fifth option on the Sixers. They keep feeding him the ball. I just don't understand what they're doing. Gary, your thoughts?
With that said, I'm actually watching it. I never even used to watch it, but I am watching it now this year. And most of the games do come down to the last couple of minutes. So it's not like the 76ers when they're blowout games where they got beat badly. And to me, there are just guys whose talent level amazes me. I mean, Kevin Durant amazes me.
Kawhi Leonard's
Kawhi
fun Leonard. To watch.
And Kawhi Leonard. Yeah. Kawhi they just amaze me, their talent level. It's unbelievable, and I have actually become interested in the playoffs, and I didn't think I would have ever said that.
Well, if you're any kind of a sports guy, you almost have to, because, you, I mean, if you're in media, you almost have to a little
yeah.
bit. Because there's a certain network with four letters that just pushes it and bombards you with it. You feel like you're being left out.
Yeah, you're right.
If you don't
watch. And there you
and
see
I,
all the
are
great.
They in the spindle here?
So
are they in the spindle? I don't see you.
No, no, there's no. Okay. I did watch some of that Warriors-Rockets game.
Yeah, I did
night.
Too.
I mean, it was pretty good.
I did.
It was pretty good.
How about some of those passes were phenomenal
no,
passes?
I'm not saying that there's not talent. Like, I mean, I think today's players are probably better, but I just don't like the way
the actual game itself.
Yeah, I know.
All right, the Liberty Hall of Fame induction ceremony always has a big name in Lehigh Valley sports history, and the class of 2019 was no different. But it was a little more special for us here at Sports Talk, as the 13-year co-host of the program, Joe Craig, was one of those enshrined. Sports Talk videographer Mike Kingsley attended the event, along with Joe and some of the other inductees at this year's enshrinement.
It was an unbelievable feeling, because I feel totally honored. I mean, when I consider some of the people who have been enshrined into this Hall of Fame, people like Chuck Bednarik and Mike Hartenstein, Tom Donches, you go up and down the list, Billy Packer, Al Senovitis. I mean, these are names that are well known in local sports circles and went on to in major colleges and in the pros. And just to be in the same hall with those folks is a great honor. It's a wonderful honor.
What I'll remember most about my father's career was when we would be at the beach in the summertime at Wildwood Crest, and inevitably I'd hear, "Hey, Mr. Craig, how you doing?" Or, "Hey, Coach Craig, what are you doing?" Or when we were at breakfast at a diner in town, "Oh, Coach Craig, how you doing?" And then immediately, as the teenager in me would say, "Oh, this is another 10-minute conversation I have to sit and listen to." But you remember the impact he had on young people. And I think there are some sitting here in the room today. You'll never stop being Mr. Craig or Coach Craig. And after 42 years, the impact on thousands and thousands of kids who've probably walked these halls and have either called him Mr. Craig or Coach Craig, I think is Hall of Fame worthy. Congratulations. Dad, welcome to the Hall of Fame.
I am a Parkland graduate, class of 1961. And the greatest thing that ever happened to me, as I look back on things now, initially, was the day I got a job in Bethlehem. The Bethlehem Area School District people, the staff, kids, for 42 years have honored me and allowed me to be part of that, and they've welcomed me with open arms.
I just want to express gratitude for this entire process. I am so excited to have my family here, but to have so many of my teammates. And I think that's the biggest thing about Liberty, is that once you're in, you're a teammate for life. And so that is every person that's in this room is a teammate of mine.
I mean, it's a huge honor to be inducted into the Hall of Fame tonight. I love the school I came from. I've had so many good experiences here and things that prepared me for life. So this is just such a blessing to be a part of. And of course, to be, you know, alongside so many other great athletes.
This honor means a lot to me because I taught at Liberty for 38 years and I coached for many years. I was very, very happy. I thought it might happen. I was a head coach of softball for about 8 years. However, most of my career was being an assistant to Bernie Fritz, Harry Dudek, and then my son, Andy Pitsilis.
I want to end with saying to you, this, besides my children and my wife and my grandsons, this is the greatest honor of my life. And I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Well, one more time, we have the call out there for the lovely Best of RCN's DVD spindles. Keith is aggressively going through, taking out some of his favorite moments of Gary Laubach.
I can't get the lid off again. But I mean,
it's not that hard to figure
out. You got Blue Mountain League Baseball, Rosetta, and the Northern Yankees, right?
All right. The question, by the way, since 2013, only two schools have won both District 11 baseball and softball titles. Name both schools. What are you doing? You're filling up the DVDs.
He's stealing some.
I might pocket a couple of these. I might pocket a few of these. I mean, what's this? 2015. Uh-oh, this is the one I want. The Bath Halloween Parade from October 20th, 2015.
Gary doesn't do parades. You don't want that one.
No,
I don't do parades either.
I might be interested in watching it.
That may be the one good one that's in there.
All right, mercifully, we'll continue on to the roundtable. You can take those home for all I care.
I just might.
Topic number three, what's been the biggest surprise? Almost through this high school sports seasons, the calendar year or the school year. What's been your biggest surprise so far? Gary?
I was thinking about this. I really have kind of two of them. Freedom winning the EPC and the districts in football.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, that was great. Great for Jason and the team. And my second one was Liberty Wrestling this year under Jody Karam. Mm-hmm. I thought they were outstanding. They finally were able to bring it back. Jody's hung in there all these years, and he's always been a great coach, and this year he had a great team, and he molded them just the way he wanted. So
those great individual moments, too.
Yes, those are my two surprises.
All right. Keith?
I'm going to the sport of basketball. Bethlehem Catholic winning the state championship after losing their best player, one of the best players in the country.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry I'm going to miss that show. I am going to miss that show up at the Wild Wing.
We still want people to come anyway.
Well, no, come and see Medina. I mean, they're a great collection of talent. And the other surprise on the boys' side, Allen winning the District 11 6A mm-hmm. championship. This is supposed to be a down year, a rebuilding year. Freshman point guard. Nobody, and even as late as the beginning of the district tournament, no one thought they were going to win at all. And there they were, and they were one of just a handful of teams that won a state playoff game. Good job by Doug Snyder and the Allen Canaries.
All right, I think we have 30 seconds left, so we'll do Stone Cold Lock, something you guarantee that will come true in the world of sports. Can be local, regional, or national. Gary, you're up first.
Bucks and Warriors in the NBA final. Warriors win again.
Warriors win again. All right, Keith?
I'm going to go with my heart a little bit. I love the city of St. Louis. I think the St. Louis Blues
end a
long drought. They've never won a Stanley Cup. I think they get it done this year. They at least get to the finals and win it all. St. Louis Blues, Stanley Cup champs.
All right. Be sure to tune in for Gary and Scott Barr announcing the EPC semifinals. That'll start Tuesday, weather permitting. Check the RCN-TV website for any changes to our schedule coming up over the next couple of weeks. For Gary and Keith, I'm Chris. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you in 2 weeks out at Buffalo Wild Wings for the next live sports talk. Good night, everyone.